I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ken Barkley, how we doing?
Doing great. Yeah, you mentioned all the stuff we have on the show. It's the sports equinox, right? Who was that said that yesterday? Matt Stetz, when we had him on from Bet Rivers and Play Sugar House. Like, we have the chance for the sports equinox, which is basically just like the four major sports all happening at the same time. And yeah, it's just like the amount of consumption right now, like the amount of things that I've had to watch either, you know, before I go to bed or when I wake up in the morning, watch the entire Lakers game this morning, watch most of the Red Sox game this morning, including the ninth inning that you referenced very briefly, 7 in the ninth to put the game over the total. Like, absolute insanity. Imagine a playoff total closing 10, being 2-2 in the ninth and landing 9-2.
I feel like sending Laz Diaz like a fruit basket or something for his terrible umpiring, allowing that to happen last night for the Astros.
That was the pinnacle of stupidity. I mean, that's really, it's very funny. And if you have the under, I'm sorry,
listen,
except
Ken,
Nick won. So.
Ken, you and I have come on a couple times recently, mostly me, and been like, you know, we've got a lot of BS results recently. I'd like a BS result to go my way. Last night, I got it on the silver platter. The BS result of all BS results, cashing that over with Astros and Red Sox.
Sure. And obviously Astros win as well. And then NBA, like the all, it's so funny on night one, right? It can't just be like over by 20, under by 20. It can't just be like the results, the spread results were actually like not really in doubt for most of the entire game. I think we knew even early in the third quarter, probably, that the Bucks were going to win. And then we knew probably with like 6 minutes left that the Warriors weren't just going to cover, but we're going to win the game outright. They opened up a pretty big lead to start the fourth quarter. Their 3-point shooting was pretty good. We can talk about the Lakers offense as well. So the sides weren't in doubt, but we weren't on one of the sides, or I wasn't on one of them and I was on the other and it was a loser. The totals, on the other hand, one of the most heart-stopping, dramatic 1-1s you could possibly imagine.
In terms of,
you check the account and the account wouldn't tell you the sort of the heart-stopping madness that took place at the end of both of those games. And you were tweeting about this obviously last night. Different type of sweat the basketball totals went, whether NBA, especially college, with the way the end games work. You're never quite ready for it, and then we get to opening night, and naturally, because of course, only two games, and in each of the two cases, the total is very much in doubt, with even seconds to go in the game.
Yeah, and I tweeted this last night, and like, if you're watching on YouTube, you're watching on Twitch, or you're on Twitter, you want to tweet us about this. You know, if you've been betting on sports for a long time, and I've been betting on sports for literally almost 20 years, Ken's been betting on sports for a long time also, if you have too, like, you understand like what like some of these total sweats are like betting basketball, right? Whether it's the NBA or whether it's college hoops, like the mental arithmetic that goes on at the ends of these games, and it is just absolutely brutal. Like, one thing that happens, like literally, could swing a bet one way or another, and we'll get to the shop when we talk about the Bucks and the Nets. But how about the Anthony Davis like turnaround insane three-pointer the stretch of the Lakers Warriors game? Correct me if I'm wrong, Ken, if you agree with me or not. If Anthony Davis misses that shot, like that game probably goes under, but Davis makes a turnaround insane three-pointer off a miss and a rebound, and that's why we end up losing that bet and lose it by quite a bit there in the final 20 seconds.
Yeah, it was 223, I think, when he took the shot. So total close 226 and a half. And there were, I think, 28 seconds left, 28 to 30 seconds left when he shot it. So you would have had another Lakers possession, probably. I don't think they would have fouled. I think it was a 9-point game. Might have been 9 or 11 when he took that shot. And so if he misses and the Warriors get the rebound, they run it out, 2 seconds left. like Lakers three, I'm pretty sure it was 223 at the time. As long as the Lakers don't foul, you're actually home at that point. There's actually like almost no way you can lose unless something like really weird fouling wise happened. So yeah, it was just like, that's how much on a knife edge some of this stuff is. And you look at the final score and you'd be like, well, they had a 235 and be like, well, that's not really representative of what was actually happening in the end game of the game. Yeah. And then, but honestly, like in both situations, it's like, you can't, you know, we come on with the NFL game sometimes. We're like, we got very unlucky, you know, Buccaneers, Eagles landed a certain way. That was really unfortunate. A couple of the games on Sunday land a certain way. That was unfortunate. Patriots, Cowboys with the touchdown overtime. Like you can legitimately claim you were pretty unlucky to have that result. Whatever side over or under of both totals last night, I feel like no one was really, it was just a coin flip. Both situations, complete coin flip. Agreed. Like just weird end games. And like, sometimes somebody's going to make a shot, miss a shot, whatever. The totals probably actually ended up being very like accurate and predictive of what the type of game I think that we were going to see. You could argue that maybe like if Jrue Holiday doesn't get hurt or Brooklyn Milwaukee plays out a little bit differently, like that game probably should have flown over the number, ends up being a huge blowout, which prevents that from happening. So just, it's kind of funny. Like, you know, we hadn't seen the NBA in so long and we ended up with like two complete coin flips down the stretch. Just very unlikely.
I just, like, the Bucks were literally like running like their actual offense with all the backups in by like threes. 20 points in the final 2 minutes. It's like, guys, like, bud, like, can you call off the dogs here, man? It's game one of the regular season. Like, enough here, bud. And then you got Frank Vogel thinks he's at like St. Joe's or something, or Temple in the Atlantic 10, fouling at the end of the game.
Down that
by
was tough.
Frank, yeah. Frank. The game's over, bro.
Right. You're going
come
to
come on, man.
All like, veterans too. Yeah, like Westbrook fouling. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing there?
All right. So for the first time this NBA season, we got our guy Jake Hassan. Shout out to Jake. Jake's in with us now as the regular board up on our show, replacing Rick Camp. So yeah. A warm welcome to Jake the Snake here on You Better You Bet. Tyler Morales back as our executive producer. Bill Matz is in the house. Downtown Mike Brown is in the house. Great to have our full crew here on You Better You Bet. Jake, for the first time this NBA season, kindly lay down that NBA takeaways bed. Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby.
Can someone go back and like clip the Knish? Like, what did he say yesterday when you brought up Mountain West?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
We need that. Tyler, I'm dead serious. Like, can we please get that clipped and like have it, like, we need that as a drop on the show, please. Right. Tyler says he has it. All right. I want to do something with that at some point because it was absolutely
Fresno taking on Nevada about, oh yeah.
No, but it wasn't, it was more like sexual than that. It was like, oh yeah. It's like unbelievable, man. Hilarious. All right. NBA takeaways from last night. We'll start with the first game. Bucks beat the Nets 127-104. The Bucks obviously win. Bucks obviously cover. Game thankfully goes under the total. Durant scores 32. Harden goes under. Great job by you, Ken, with the under there on James Harden. 6-for-16 from the field. 20 points for Harden. Joe Harris, man, what a jerk. Only 9 points. I lose my my prop bet on the game. Anything to be gleaned from this? Night one of the NBA season, Bucks really beat down the Nets. Again, 127-104.
I think in both cases, with both games, so this one can be kind of where we start, the idea that the maybe the better team at the end of the season, or the team that was the favorite to win, or the favorite to win the title, favorite to win the conference, so Nets and Lakers, the idea that these are such unfinished products, I think, is like the right way to approach both of these results. The Bucks, you know, you look at their rotation and yeah, like Jordan Nwora is playing a lot. And, you know, like they have these bench guys that are coming in that you know, they didn't obviously have last year. Grayson Allen's in the starting lineup, but they kind of like system wise, they know exactly what they're doing. It's Budenholzer's been there forever. We know what this is supposed to be. Like it's Giannis, Drew, and it's Middleton, and it's, you know, Connaughton off the bench and Lopez, and everybody kind of knows where they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to do. And I think it kind of lends itself to sometimes in like an opening night type of situation, you can just kind of fall into your stride a little bit better and execute a little bit better. And you look at the Nets and you kind of go, even though a lot of these guys played together, it was only year one. Though this group collectively that played last night played basically zero games together. And you kind of look and you go, what are you guys like doing? Like, what is this supposed to be? Like, and like, what's the rotation supposed to be? Who's supposed to play? Who works well together? Like, those are obviously very basic questions. But with the Nets and the Lakers, I feel like we still have like no really good answers to them. So for the Nets, like the first thing that stands out immediately is that Bruce Brown doesn't play in the game last night. And like, I was doing projections, you know, for the game. I do them for every game. And you try to, especially the first couple games, I even said this last night, it's like, these are such guesses because we just need to see how the rotations shake out. Like, we don't know. And the Nets end up basically going 10 deep. And Bruce Brown, who was a huge part of their playoff run, who I had in for like 20, 22 minutes last night, plays zero. And then you have like, you know, like Nick Claxton plays a ton and ends up playing with James Harden a ton in like a two-man offense, which is really weird to see. So just the idea that, like, I don't think Nash knows what this is going to be in a week, a month, 2 months.
Shocker.
And they're kind of just trying stuff out. I mean, not even his fault, though, honestly, because Vogel's doing the same thing. And we're just like, this isn't what it's going to look like in Christmas and All-Star break and whatever. So it just don't jump to conclusions so much about this. Like, it's okay to be disappointed. It's okay to ask questions about, like, what are we doing with these pieces? Can the offense fit together? All these kind of things. But, like, it's just understand how unfinished it is and how much we're still just trying stuff on October 19th.
I'm going to read some stats off here. Ken, you tell me if anything stands out to you. So I mentioned Durant, 32-11-4. Harden, 20 points, 8 boards, 8 assists. Patty Mills off the bench with 21 points. He looked
couldn't miss.
I'd like to see Cam Thomas play a little more just because I think he's going to be awesome. Claxton, you mentioned, 24 minutes, 12-7. Like, love him in fantasy basketball. Giannis, 32-14-7. Just an absolutely ridiculous game. Middleton, 20. Holiday MRI coming back. Okay. Grayson Allen played like 28 minutes last night for the Bucks. Ken, anything interesting or noteworthy there quickly?
Just Holiday being hurt and his status going forward. That's probably the only predictive thing that we have.
On the other side, we'll talk about the Bucks' next game coming up Thursday night against the Miami Heat and tell you what you need to take away from the Warriors' win over the Lakers Wednesday. You better, you bet.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
We're going to get to all the line movement you need to know about for week 7 in the National Football League coming up momentarily, but need to wrap up our NBA takeaways from last night. Ken, we've touched on the Bucks and their win last night over the Brooklyn Nets on Tuesday night. Let's move to the Warriors and the Lakers. Golden State takes down LA in the first game for Russell Westbrook, the new Big Three in La La Land. Dubs win 121-114, so Golden State wins outright as a 3.5-point dog. Game goes over the total, much to our chagrin. Andrew Wiggins did go under, so shout out to me for that prop bet last night. What do you got for us, Ken? Anything
shout out
to be
gleaned?
Shout out to
myself for that one.
I did say, hey, I'm an idiot for the Joe Harris one, so I get some credit for Andrew Wiggins under. Anything to be gleaned here? Because people are already like, sky's falling, Lakers suck, team's too old, they're going to be terrible, it's LeBron AD and nobody else. You got a level-headed, rational take for us here, or is it Chicken Little time in Los Angeles?
A bit of both, I think, actually, because I said, you know, these aren't finished products. And, you know, if there's one thing I actually trust Vogel with, it's to try to get the most out of a roster, like try to figure out a rotation that makes a lot of sense. Like, we've seen him do it back to back years, even when the team had flaws, to just try to like piece things together in a way that made a ton of sense. And obviously you have a ton of egos involved and it's difficult, but I actually like trust him probably more than a lot of coaches to figure that out. Obviously, like, led them to a title a couple years ago. And part of that was just some of the rotation stuff that he was doing, some of the mixing and matching with some of the veteran pieces that he was doing. Watching the game last night, you're just like immediately struck by a couple things watching the Lakers. I actually think this game had like nothing to do with the Warriors whatsoever, honestly. Like, I think the Warriors are a like playoff team in the West that I think, when they get Clay back, let's see what that looks like before we judge contender status. But they're like not a contender with this roster. They need Clay, obviously, to be one. And they kind of just hang out in that, I would call it like a limbo area at the bottom of the Western Conference playoff standings. Like, they're not bottom of the West. They're like middle to top. They get Clay back. Maybe that puts them to another level. I don't think like I learned a ton about them last night, with one exception, which I'll get to in a second. I feel like with the Lakers, there's a ton of interesting stuff here, and it's only one game, but there are a couple things that immediately stand out. First is shot distribution. So I was really curious, with LeBron and Davis and Westbrook playing together, like, what would happen? Because Westbrook has always been not just like a volume scorer, like, needs the ball in his hand a lot, takes a ton of shots. Everywhere he's gone, takes a million shots. Okay, like, what? There aren't going to be shots here. Like, what's going to happen? And I feel like what ended up happening is, I honestly think he was one of the worst players on the court for both teams last night. I actually think he was a
-23 for Russell Westbrook last night. Scores 8 points on 4 of 13 from the field.
Right. And it's not like, I think you can have a stat line. Well, forget the -23 for a second. I think you can have a stat line like that and still be relevant and like productive. But it's interesting. Like, I was always one of the people when they got Russell Westbrook that was like, let me just like see, like, stop telling me it's a horrible fit until, let me just see it for like 10 games. And then if it's really a horrible fit, then we're going to know it's a horrible fit. But like, I trust the players involved here. I trust Vogel. Like, let's just see what it looks like. And I can just tell you, through one game, it's atrocious. It's actually terrible. only 13 shots. Anthony Davis and LeBron James combined for almost 50. They combined for 49 shots. So the shot distribution is interesting because rather than seeing it like, okay, well, like we're all going to get ours. And I don't think it was unique to the particular matchup last night. The Warriors have extremely attackable guards, if that's what they wanted to do with Westbrook. It was more like Westbrook was, had to kind of be off the ball a little bit, had to kind of figure out like when to shoot, when to, you know, sort of, you know, play make, when to, you know, sit back and be more passive. And like none of the decisions ended up being great or efficient, I guess would be the right word for the Lakers. So like through one game, it really looks like a puzzle piece that doesn't fit. Now it's one game and like 5 games from now, it could be different. 20 games from now, it could be different. But through one game that stood out immediately. And then the other thing is the Lakers last year, obviously, like one of the reasons they didn't make it to the Western Conference Finals was because Anthony Davis got hurt. You could argue that was the main reason they didn't make it to like at least the Western Conference Finals or the NBA Finals, because they kind of had Phoenix on the ropes, feel like they had them put away a little bit. Davis gets hurt, they end up losing. Something that plagued the Lakers last year in it.
We enjoyed that with our
Yeah.
Up 2-1, foot to throat by Anthony Davis, by Lakers, by money.
Right. Bench imitating LeBron's post move on Jay Crowder. Everyone's laughing and then no one's laughing. You know, the other thing that plagued the Lakers, though, that sort of the Davis injury overshadowed this, was the idea that they had a really hard time putting together 5-man combinations that had enough shooting in it. Because like when you play Davis and LeBron together, the year that they won the title, Davis had this otherworldly 3-point shooting season, and in the bubble shot the three insanely well. And that was like one of the things that helped them create enough spacing that they could win, is that like the Davis three was a shot that was not only there, but he could hit a lot. And so they ended up with this pretty efficient offense. They had the best defense, and that combined led to them winning an NBA championship last year. Davis didn't shoot as well from three. They didn't have a lot of great shooters that they could surround these guys. Like there wasn't a 5-man combination that made a lot of sense. I look at the roster last night and I'm just like, again, like watch the space, and you don't have to be, this isn't like, you don't have to be a coach to see this. Just like, look at the spacing on the court when the guys are out there, be like, who would you play off of? Who would you guard? Like, how would you kind of like, would you pack the paint against this, whatever 5-man rotation is out there for the Lakers? There's no combination that's threatening like at all. Like I feel like I'm not sure the Lakers took one shot that I thought was like an awesome, efficient possession, like that created a high quality shot. It was like LeBron off the dribble creating like, so honestly, LeBron played great last night, and mostly because he just shot the ball really well, but it was all like off the dribble. Okay, I'll take my guy. All right, whatever. Davis in the post, one-on-one. Okay, like maybe you can make them double. Maybe they won't. Westbrook in isolation, which is always inefficient and always a disaster.
Don't you think it ran in contrast with what the Warriors were doing too, when the Warriors were getting so many great shots with ball movement, open three-pointers, where I'm like, wow, like that's basketball right there. And then you're right, like the Lakers are like, I watched the Great British Baking Show, right? A word they use is stodgy. It's like the Lakers were stodgy last night.
Yeah, and I think part of this goes back to like how I opened the Nets thing. Like one team that was playing in each game last night has been in the same system for a really long time, and they can show up and they all kind of know what they're supposed to be doing, and they're all like on board with running this offense. Their superstar player and their coach have been together for a long time. Like it makes sense that the Warriors would be more efficient, and it makes sense the Lakers would be more of a work in progress. And I thought the number got down to a crazy enough degree that I still wanted to play the Lakers. I actually thought like the difference between the teams was okay, it's not 6, it's not 7. Last year it would have been like 8, 8.5 with full strength both teams, no Klay Thompson. Okay, great. Like I understand it's less, but I just didn't think it was that much less. You still can't deny that, like, there's just such a work in progress. You watch the Lakers and you just go, well, this isn't even close to what this, even by Christmas, this isn't what this is going to look like. Now, a couple things that are going to end up helping the Lakers, you're like, all right, well, like, what moves are there to be made? Like, can this look better? Which is, for some teams are going to look terrible tonight, and I'm actually probably going to come on the next day and be like, I don't know if there's a way to fix this, but like, you know, they'd have to add pieces that aren't currently on the roster. The good news for the Lakers is like when Talen Horton Tucker comes back from his like injury on his whatever, his severed tendon in his finger or whatever it is, like Wayne Ellington didn't play last night. Trevor Ariza didn't play last night. Like there's all kinds of, Kendrick Nunn didn't play last night. We thought he might, he was questionable. He didn't end up playing. There are so many other guys you can plug in. And a lot of those guys actually bring the exact same quality, which is 3-point shooting. So like, I think there's still hope to come up with some 5-man combinations. Definitely. But I think the interesting takeaway, and like, you know, from a betting standpoint, we'd really only be talking about player props. I think there are two, basically. And I'll do the Warriors 1 second. I mentioned I had one thing to say about them. So first would be for the Lakers, if Westbrook's going to shoot like this, like his point props have to be bottom of the barrel. Like, I mean, it really has to be like
15 just, and a half.
You can't, he took 13 shots and 0 free throws last night. Like what? I mean, like teens, like mid teens maximum for like a guy with that kind of usage.
15 and a half, maybe.
Right. I wouldn't, but like max, maybe probably lower, because I don't think they're going to play in a lot of games with that high of a total going forward. That was a lot predicated on the Warriors want to run and gun and shoot a ton of threes. Like that's what created a lot of the total last night. So if they're going to play in totals that are like 210, 215, like 13 and a half, maybe. And like, even then I'd kind of think about it depending on matchup. He's going to shoot terrible from three. So like, if he's not going to get to the line, I think that's kind of what we're looking at with him. And then on the Warriors side, just my only note with them, really, we all wondered what Jordan Poole was going to look like last night. Not in terms of almost how good he is. I don't think like anybody really questions that he's at least somewhat talented. It's just, how are they going to run the offense, you know, like with Curry and him together? Was he really going to be like what we had heard where it's Klay Thompson part two? And like, until Klay comes back, here's the guy. Curry took 21 shots last night. Jordan Poole took 18 shots last night. Like, it's really, even if the point total, like 20 points on 18 shots, didn't get to the line at all, is not like this amazingly efficient performance. Guy took a couple fewer shots than Steph Curry. Like, and that's, I think that kind of tells you something about what they want to do and what they're okay with happening in terms of the offense. So I know Poole had a really high point prop last night. What was like 19 and a half or something? 18 and a half. And I think went over it barely. I would expect to see at least those numbers. And you might be talking about going against different teams that want to run and gun with them. You might even see him, you know, have some higher numbers than that.
And keep in mind, like what we told you about Andrew Wiggins yesterday, like Steve Kerr has literally said, A, he's not in shape. B, he's not going to shoot as much this year. The shot's got to go somewhere until Klay Thompson comes back. It looks right now they're going to go towards Jordan Poole. I have one player related note here for fantasy players. I don't know if we'll ever see props on this guy. How about, it's like, how do the Warriors get guys like this? Bielitsa is going to be like so awesome for this team coming off the bench. 15, 11, and 4. I picked him up in my season long fantasy.
That might be the best game he's ever had.
Like 1 in the morning. But like, he's in like the perfect system for him. Like, I don't know. Like, you need depth in your fantasy league. Like, I play fantasy basketball, so I
sure.
I don't know if we'll ever get props.
We'll see if we can keep it up. 15. Let's see if we can keep it up. It's just, it was, I mean, I watched a lot of him, like Timberwolves, and you know, like I forget where his stop was after that. Like, he's been around. And if he somehow morphed into like the sixth man of the year, I would be kind of surprised by that. Now he was exactly what they needed last night. He played awesome. There's no question about that. We'll be curious to see if that's sustainable. Like, I mean, if he could ever be half of that for the entire season, then they found this incredible asset that they probably didn't even know they had.
You bet. BetQL. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley here with you on a wonderful Wednesday. We'll get to NFL line movement in a second here, but we want to wrap this up. NBA from last night, talking briefly about two games that we'll see on Thursday in the NBA and get Ken's initial thoughts on those. So Ken, Milwaukee plays on Thursday night. 1.5 point favorites on the road at their old pals, the Miami Heat. Of course, they exercised the Miami Heat demons in the first round with a sweep in last year's postseason. And then we've got Golden State, a 3-point home favorite against Paul George and the Kawhi Leonard-less Los Angeles Clippers. Both those games coming up on Thursday night. Any early thoughts with Golden State -3 against the Clips and the Bucks -1.5 on the road at the Heat?
The second game, the Clippers Warriors game, I'm not really surprised with what the number is. I think creating a Clippers rating before we see what this is going to be with no Kawhi is really tough. Like, I did the best I could. I got to Warriors -2 in this game. I'm totally willing to admit that there's a lot of wiggle room each way with the Clippers projections, offense and defense. I honestly, like, I got to watch a game to even know what this is going to look like. So like, not very interested in playing that. I think the Warriors should be favored. I think it should be a small number. Great. No problem. If Jrue Holiday is not going to play in this game, I don't know if the Bucks should be favored. And I know it's a really small difference. They're 1.5 on the road right now. My projection for this game with him playing was Bucks -1.5. So I'll be curious, like, as we get more injury information, like what happens to this market. It's not that the Bucks like aren't.
I can't imagine he's going to play. Bud said like the MRI was good, but I mean, like, yep, literally like 2 days later in a season where you want to go back to back, like you're going to force Jrue Holiday on the court. Like, I would guess he's not going to play, but right. Who knows?
It's really tough. I think it's tough to figure out, you know, like what to do in this game. I think my conundrum basically is like, all right, if we have a similar market like this, 1.5, one, even pick, and Holiday doesn't play, I think I'm never betting the Bucks in that situation. And I just have to figure out whether I want to bet the Heat or not, or whether I want to like see what this is and then evaluate further. Obviously the Heat won't have played a game by the time we get to that point or whatever. So I think it's just like Heat or nothing at even like a small number, even like a pick, maybe a -1. And then second game, I can't even guess what the Clippers, there's such wide ranging options for what the Clippers are this year. Like, I honestly, I guess they should be a small dog in the game. That's my guess too. But honestly, I have no idea.
All right. So that's our NBA takeaways from Tuesday into Wednesday. Again, later today in the Power Hour, we will hit every single game on the board. What a great time to be alive.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.